Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
So we are all sitting in this beautiful temple in the association of wonderful devotees because of Srila Prabhupada and ISKCON. And Nityananda Prabhu has asked us to speak about ISKCON. So I thought just speak about some events to which I was personally a party, which marked some milestones in the development of ISKCON. They took place in Boston in 1969. At the time, we were living in a storefront at 95 Glenville Avenue. And the lease was about to expire. And Satsuru Kumaraj was the temple president, and we all felt that we should try to get a bigger place and a better place. But the devotees couldn't find anything in time. So we had to renew the lease on Friday. But something within me kept saying, you know, we shouldn't do this. You know, we have to get a better place. So I told Satsuru Maharaj that, you know, the landlord won't know until midnight whether we're renewing it or not, and then he won't be able to do anything until Monday, so we have the weekend, so let's just try. So we actually found a place, a big mansion that had been something like something to do with dead people. And so we got it, and that was the first immovable property that ISKCON owned. So then, you know, we had our plans, as Srila Prabhupada said, you have your plans, I have my plans, and Krishna has his plans. So we local Boston devotees had our plans, how we're going to use all the space. And then Srila Prabhupada said that he wanted to move the press to Boston. It wasn't a physical press, but it was a press operation. But we did end up getting everything to produce books. And Srila Prabhupada was so pleased. You know, his Guru Maharaj had a printing press, and he was so pleased that we had our own, or he had his own press, you know, in his own building. And from that press, we produced many books. Srila Prabhupada was bringing out one chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam at a time. Of course, he had done the first three volumes, which were the first canto, and then one after the other, he would give titles for those one chapter books. And then we produced the Nectar of Devotion and different books. And now Srila Prabhupada came, and he was, you know, very pleased. So at the time it was called ISKCON Press, and the BBT had been established, but it was really, really Prabhupada's heart. And Yeah, it was so memorable when he came to Boston, because the devotees gave him a tour of the press, and he was so happy. Now, to get that building, it was very expensive for us, and so we had a mortgage. And the way it worked was that we had to pay, you know, and if we didn't meet our payments, the owner, the mortgage was with him, the owner could take, repossess the place, and we would use all the money that we put in. So in the press, there were so many departments, of course, typing department, and the devotees had a typewriter, like a fancy typewriter, selected typewriter. Well, it was a composing machine. And it was expensive, and we had only one. And so the devotees who were doing the composing, they had shifts of 24 hours a day that composing machine was being used. And there was the Sanskrit department, the art department, that was in the preparation, and then there was the printing and the photo lab and the book binding, all the different departments from beginning to end. So we were making payments. Srila Prabhupada wanted us to distribute BTGs at that time. He placed a huge order for BTGs, and then he had every temple accept a quota. And we knew that our selling the BTGs was related to our making the mortgage payments. So it went on all right for the first few months. But then in the winter, it was so cold in Boston, it was hard to get devotees to go out, and it was hard to stop people on the street. And we were getting, it was just obvious that we weren't going to be able to make the payment. And we were like all in anxiety, what's going to happen? So one Sunday, literally just a day or two before the end of the month, or the beginning of the next month when we had to make the payment, a sort of elderly lady came to the Sunday feast, which was unusual, because most of our crowd was, in the late teens and early 20s. And suddenly she came up and she said, these paintings you have on the walls are very nice. I would like to buy some of these. Is it possible? I said, yes, it is. Which ones do you want? So she selected a number of the paintings that the artists had done. And she said, how much do I pay for these? So I guess it must have been Satsurupa Maharaj. He knew how much we needed for the mortgage. And so he named that figure and added a little to it. And she was happy, and she came, and we were able to make the mortgage payment, and everything went on. I think back and forth will be nice. You can say something. No.
ॐ ज्ञानशीलञ्जनाशतया चक्षुर्मिलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णपृष्ठाय पुस्ताय Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamiti Namane Namaste Sarasvati Deve Lodavani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschate Satarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shivashari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. I can't say that I participated in any milestones or even yardstones, but I guess most of my experience was in Latin America, and so of course some pioneering devotees had come before me, before I joined. 1969, I won't even mention what I was doing. Actually, I was studying part time. And by Krishna's arrangement, I met the devotees while I was studying in 1971, but I didn't take it very seriously, and they disappeared from my vision. I was drafted into the army, and I started chanting there, just out of, looking for relief from affliction and misery. But somehow, I ended up in Latin America, and just I remember the experience I had, that when I first wrote to the devotees, and one devotee who was answering letters, Swarup Prabhu, he wrote me back, and I said, "So what can I do? I'm here in Panama. There's no devotees, no temple, there's nothing." And he said, "I'll put you in touch with Brahmeshwar. He'll tell you what to do." So he said, "Why don't you do Sankirtan?" I said, "What's that?" This is on letters, so it even takes like 2 weeks before you get the answer back. And he said, "It means distributing books." So I said, "Okay, well, if you can send me some books, I'll do my best." So he did. He sent me about 20 boxes of books. I was trying to figure out how to distribute them. At that time, I didn't speak any Spanish, and they were all in books in English. So I started distributing to the people on the military bases, the remaining military bases. And then, by Krishna's arrangement, the person in charge of where I was staying, he said, "You don't belong here." Because I was getting up at 3 in the morning, and everyone would throw beer cans and shoes and anything they could, turn off that light. And they were all complaining about me. I thought he was going to send me to the, peeling potatoes kitchen duty, He said, "Actually, I think you should be with the chaplain's department. Yeah, you're into religious things, And he said, "And you shouldn't live in a barracks. So I'm going to authorize you separate rations and separate housing." So I was able to rent a farm, and it was nice arrangement. And then I had a lot of Bhagavad Gita. And the little books, it was easy for me to distribute to the soldiers, but the bigger books was a little more difficult. They didn't get paid very much, and I got paid much more than them. Most the average person. So, since I was in the chaplain's office, everybody that would come in for counseling, I would say, "The chaplain will help you out, but this book, this book will really explain and solve all the problems of your life, in your life." And so I would give them some of the Bhagavad Gita,
But I made the mistake of doing that before they went in. They were all walking in with the Bhagavad Gita to see the chaplain. So he came and said, "You can't do this." I said, "Why not? It's, if you tell me I can't do it, wouldn't that be religious discrimination?" And he said, "Well, at least do it when they come out." So I started doing it. That way I was able to distribute all the Bhagavad Gita. So that was my introduction to Krishna consciousness. And then when I got out of the army, while I was processing out, I still had about 3 or 4 boxes of books. I was decided to do Sankirtan on the street corner. Actually, I didn't know that devotees actually did that, but it just seemed like something I should do. And I saw somebody on the other corner. It's like, he's distributing books. And he was looking at me also, you know. Who was that guy? So I walked across the street, and I looked at his book. I said, "Oh, Hare Krishna." It was Naranda Prabhu. So he took me back to the library party, and so I was met Satsarupa Maharaj, Mahabhuni Prabhu, Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, who was Gyanisham at that time. And then I got very attached to the library party. But I was supposed to be part of the Costa Rica temple, which had just opened. And I had to collect a ticket for my temple president and myself to go to India. So we got to India. And he complained to Prabhupada. He said, "Satsarupa Maharaj is taking one of my men." We were talking about this last night. There was a lot of possessiveness at that time. You know, you were like, you belonged to a place. So probably, you know, I was just sitting on the periphery, and Prabhupada said, "So then he should go back to Costa Rica." I went, "Oh." He said, "Library party of sannyasis," and you know, "and now I go back to Costa Rica." So that's how I ended up in Latin America. And I guess most of my devotional career was, at least at that time, pioneering. You know, that was the spirit of Srila Prabhupada at that time. You know, as soon as you knew something, then he would send you out. You know, the mood was, as soon as you learn something, you go out, you start something. And especially in Latin America, it was, you know, it was wide open field. And so, I guess that was a change in one area of the world that I participated in to some degree, and it was just a very wonderful experience. I especially think nowadays we need a little more of that, you know, maybe in a different way, because I've been thinking about this a lot. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's instructions to Kurma Brahma, and now people we're more of a congregational-based society. But Mahaprabhu's instruction to Kurma Brahman was that your house should become a temple. Jati Jagatari Kaha Krishna Padesha Maradhyaya Guru Hanyatarayadesh. Whoever you meet, wherever you go, just whatever you know about Krishna, just teach that. So it seems like in the present context of ISKCON, that this is the way that all of us can do this pioneering work, which was Srila Prabhupada. Certainly, he was always wanting to open up the next place. I didn't experience it, but I heard from some of the senior devotees that I work with, that wherever Prabhupada would go, he would ask for a map. You know, and he would look and see and talk with the devotees how to expand. So when I heard that, I also, everywhere I went, I got a map and mapped out the city, mapped out the country, and we had to put it into sections. And this is how we should, you know, conquer it. We weren't quite able to conquer it the speed that I thought. But anyway, I wanted to share that this pioneering spirit. Srila Prabhupada, who could pioneer more than him, crossing the ocean against everyone's advice and he kept that pioneering spirit, expanding Krishna consciousness out of compassion, feeling, and love for all the living entities who are bewildered in this material world. So it's very important that we maintain this spirit, just like Bhakti Vrinda Govinda Maharaj was speaking yesterday from Brihad Bhagavatamrita. This pioneering spirit comes from Mahaprabhu and was transferred to the six Goswamis. And Sanatana Goswami included that, infused the Brihad Bhagavatamrita with this, the need for the Nam Sankirtan to be spread. And so from my experience, it's one of the most rewarding experiences in life when you can. I remember one time one devotee came up to me and he said, like 10 years ago, I met you on the street and you gave me a book. From that book I found a temple and I came to give you. Such a rewarding experience to feel that. Sometimes when you distribute books or even any service, sometimes we can feel a little overburdened because there's so much to do for Krishna. But when you get that reciprocation from the deity, from someone you preach to, then it's it makes everything feel like this has been, it was all worth it that I could participate in this way in Krishna consciousness, serve the deity, and the deity instills some feeling in my heart, or that some person says thank you very much for giving me Krishna consciousness, a book, prasadam, the holy name. So, anyway, that's just sharing that. That was my. How I could put my little grain of sand into this movement and by trying to pioneer, and I'm still trying to do that to some degree when Krishna gives me the chance. So, anyways, some experiences that I had. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
The next important phase that I was personally involved with was bringing ISKCON to India. Where Srila Prabhupada's spiritual master had instructed him to bring Krishna consciousness to the Western world in particular. And the devotees asked Srila Prabhupada about going to India now, and he said, I already did that, what my Guru Maharaj instructed, and now I want to go back to India. So the idea was that each temple, and there were maybe 14 temples then, each temple would send basically the number two person, like the best person that could be spared. And so I was chosen from Boston. I was the Sankirtan leader, temple commander, and treasurer. and before leaving, I just had this impression, I don't know where it came from, that Lord Jagannath, big Jagannath deities on the altar, that Lord Jagannath was sending me to India. And as I was at the front door ready to leave and, go to the airport, the
Pujari Rukmini Devi Dasi
came up to me and she said, I got the feeling that Lord Jagannath is sending you to India. So we went, we stopped in Belgium. Gurudas Prabhu knew a man who was connected with an airline called Basco Airlines, Brothers Air Services Company. And they had, I won't even describe, I can't describe the type of aircraft they had. It was some old reject from World War II. And it was like really wild. And so we met in Brussels, and that was the first time I met these like celebrated figures in ISKCON, Gurudas and Vimona and Shamsagar and Malati. It's so Krishna conscious. And then, other devotees joined, and we stopped in Cairo on the way. And there were adventures there. And then we came to Bombay. And although there was a bit of strangeness, like a lot of busyness, a lot of people. I mean, sometimes people have come from India to visit me, and I've taken them down to downtown Santa Barbara, and they say, "Where are all the people?" So this is like the reverse. There are like so many people. And then the cows on the street. I liked it, but it was different. But very soon I felt at home. I felt like this is really my home. And Srila Prabhupada took us to a temple in the very old section of Bombay called Madhav Bagh, a Lakshmi Narayan temple. And they had like these big fans. They were like pieces of cloth put on a frame, and then there was a rope, and then someone would stand outside the deity room pulling on the rope, and it would fan the deities. And it was so opulent, and it reminded me of the Nectar of Devotion, where Srila Prabhupada wrote that that the deity is worshipped like a king. It's very regal. And like everything came to life, all the things we had read about were just coming to life. And the temple had a goshala connected to it, and we saw the cows. And the people in India just could not, they were so, most of them, the pious ones, were like so moved. And they saw us doing Harinam Sankirtan, literally they would weep with joy, because for so many centuries, foreign powers had come and denigrated them and exploited them. And here were like Americans, top of the world, accepting their culture. So I remember one day we did Harinam Sankirtan in front of the government building. And like a huge building, multi-story, very long. And like we were seeing all the faces of the government people in the windows. And we're just chanting as usual. And eventually one of the officers from inside came out and said that that the whole government machinery has come to a standstill. could you please move on? So yeah, it was quite amazing, and there was a magazine comparable to Life magazine in America when Life magazine was very popular. And yeah, we had like a color photo of the devotees on Harinam Sankirtan right in the center of Bombay on the cover, and then like a full spread. And yeah, it really took India by storm, you could say, as one of our Life members said. And so we were traveling. But Srila Prabhupada, you know, wanted to establish permanent centers, and especially wanted a place in Vrindavan where his foreign disciples could come. And within a very short period, one after the other, he got land in Mayapur and Vrindavan and Bombay. And yes, one major program was to have a Pandal program. A Pandal, probably many of you know by now, but a Pandal is like an open air tent. It's made of, in those days, kind of like bamboo poles, and then it would be covered with cloth. And it was modular. I mean, you could just keep adding sections to it. It could be any size. And then usually there'd be a stage. And then behind the stage, you'd have rooms where Prabhupada could sit and meet people and so on. So our advisors said this is how like the big swamis have their programs. So we presented the idea to Srila Prabhupada and said we should try for it. And he said it's like shooting a rhinoceros, that everyone knows you can't get a rhinoceros. So if you fail, nobody will blame you. But if you succeed, everyone will praise you. So we did it, and there were, you know, probably 20,000 people a day coming, and then on the weekend, 30,000. And and from the Pandal programs, many devotees joined. One, he didn't join immediately, but one who came was His Holiness Radhanath Swami. He was in Bombay to deal with his visa, and at the time he had this sort of very simple white cloth. And I think he had matted hair, and was sort of a Shaivite. And so he would come to our camp, and he gives me the credit for being the first one to engage him in service in ISKCON, because I was in charge of sort of like the temple commander of the whole Pandal, and Kamal Krishna Goswami was like overall in charge. So when we would distribute ETGs in Boston, the main thing is just to get them to take it in their hand, and then they look at it and sort of get attached to it, and you know, they would like it, and
yeah,
you give a donation and like that. So I was doing the same thing. Prabhupada planned in advance. I got a Hindi BCG printed in Japan,
you know, before we even got there to India. And so, you know, I was at the book table, I was handing out the BTGs, and it was different from Boston, because the people would take the BTGs and just walk away with them without paying. So I went to, you know, one of our main advisors, Sadhguru Gopala, and I told him what was happening. He said, "Oh, you can't do that here." So what do we do? He said, "Well, because they have to hold it, they have to look at it." He said, "Well, what you do is you poke a hole in the corner of each magazine, and then you thread a string through the hole and tie it to the leg of the table. And that way they can hold it and look at it and see if they want it, but they can't walk away with it." So I thought, okay, you know, that's the way they do things here. So then this young man, Richard, he was spending a lot of time at the Pandal site. So I said, "Would you like to do some service?" He said, "Yeah." So I said, "Well, I want you to poke holes in the corner of all these magazines." Yeah. That was like his first service in his con. Another devotee to come from the Pandals was His Holiness Lokanath Swami. He was from a village in Maharashtra state, but he had come to Bombay. He saw the advertisements, and we didn't really notice him at the Pandal site. But he was very polite and proper. And so by then we had Juhu, the land, nothing was really built on it. And he sent a letter. Actually, he went to a typing school. I mean, in those days, it was very rare to own a typewriter. So he went to a typing school, and he had them type up a letter of application to join. You had to apply, you know, like, and it was addressed to the temple president. I was the temple president, and in it he quoted the publicity that we had for the Pandal, that I went to the Pandal and I enjoyed the whatever we said, spectacular artis, ecstatic kirtans, sumptuous prasad, all the things from our publicity. And, I would like to make an application to join this institution, and, please tell me what I have to do. So, yeah, I wrote back, "Yeah, please come." And I was welcome. So these Pandal programs, they influenced, you know, thousands of people, if you consider like 20,000 people a day and then 30,000 on the weekend. And then Srila Prabhupada sent Tamal Krishna Goswami and me to Calcutta to do one there. And that one had even more people coming. So it had a tremendous impact on people. And of course, Prabhupada always wanted his books distributed. And even devotees joined, you know, in these programs. So, yeah, it's I guess a different kind of pioneering. Prabhupada was always daring. I think that's related to pioneering. He's always daring and willing to take risks. And, we have to do that. And when we do that, we see how Krishna intervenes. You know, if we stay within our comfort zones, okay, we're in our comfort zone, it's nothing different. But when we take risks, like say with say, the Boston Temple. We didn't know where we were going to get the money to make the payments, but we could see Krishna intervene. You know, we can see how Krishna reciprocates. And so Prabhupada gave that example of, you know, going for a rhinoceros. You know, it's like something beyond your capacity. And, I think that's... And that can be done in subtle, not subtle ways, but it doesn't necessarily mean to go to a new geographical area. It can mean to try something new. Like our godmother, His Holiness Sridhar Swami Maharaj in Juhu, he had the idea that you could raise funds by mail. And at the time, that was unheard of. And to send out the mailing is going to take a lot of money, you know, in our terms then. And devotees were saying, you can't do it, people won't get that like that. And then, but he did it, he took that risk. It was a pioneering effort. It was extremely successful. And he did another mailer, and more funds came in, and other temples started to invite him, show us how to do it. So, and it, usually when you do some pioneering, there's resistance or opposition, but that's also part of it. Because of all these different pioneering efforts,
this kind of
become what it is, and we're where we are, and we want to just keep that spirit. Hare Krishna.
It's hard to keep up with Giriraj Maharaj. he's a real pioneer. I'm just following in his footsteps about any of it. Pioneering or preaching and always has its challenges. I was just reflecting. I couldn't reflect too much. It's so interesting what Maharaj is saying, so kind of in a blank, but I was just thinking how, you know, the next, at least my next phase of being in ISKCON was being put in management, which I had no inclination to do, had no ability to do, but somehow or another that's what I ended up doing, you know, right after my Sankirtan phase, and even when I became a temple resident of the first temple, being temple president of Costa Rica for about 3 weeks, you know, I got replaced. And I went to open another temple in Panama. I got put in jail. And I got replaced. And then I went to Colombia. And there was already a temple I was supposed to take over, and then I got replaced. And I went to Ecuador, and the temple had closed, so I had to reopen it, and I reopened it. It was an interesting experience because I took over the temple. It was 9 months behind in rent, and the person who owned the house was a colonel in the army. And in those countries at that time, it was like very dictatorial. So he was basically threatening the devotees, and they didn't know what to do. So I went there, and I could see that, you know, I tried sending the devotees out on Sankirtan, but they would just go to the beach, you know. And so and I said one day, I said, "Prabhus, guess what?" I went and talked to the colonel, and I said, "Look, I was also in the army," and they said, "Well, what are we going to do?" I said, "Well, if you can trust me, I promise I'll pay you, but we're just going to have to move out of there. I don't want to make any more debt." So I said, devotees came back from what their Sankirtan, their version of Sankirtan. And I said, "We're going to do something a little different. Tomorrow we're leaving this place, we're going on traveling Sankirtan." And the only book we had 10,000 Nectar of Devotion. So we were in Ecuador, going through all these villages, you know, simple people with, you know, indigenous dress, and giving them nectar devotion. That was one thing. I think many devotees who did book distribution in those days, any time a book came out, you had to distribute that book so that we could distribute enough books to print the next book. So I remember that, you know, distributing. I don't think there's any country in the world has more nectar devotion. And I just remember earlier than that, when Chaitanya Charitamrita was being printed, I just remember in the airport, it was in the New Orleans airport, and it was very, New Orleans always had this very heavy mood, and, you know, people rushing in, you know, they want to go enjoy, and big business people would kind of push you aside. And I remember I was distributing Anti Lila 4. He's heavy duty businessman. And so I distributed one book, and this man here, I guess he was waiting for his flight, sorry, he sat down. I didn't notice him, then he came up big, you know, like maybe 6'5", rather imposing figure. He comes up to me with this book. And I thought, well, he's going to give it back, he's going to want his money back. And he said, you know, I was reading your book, and I just can't understand this, you know, this person that gets caught up in the fishnet, and he was a ghost. Could you explain that to me? I said, well, yeah, if you just keep reading it, you know, it becomes apparent, you know, as you do. I'm not going to explain Lord Chaitanya, you know, from the fishnet. Oh, okay, thank you very much. That was the one good experience I had. But the point is that there were many challenges in Sankirtan, and as I took up more leadership positions, then I ended up going to Brazil, becoming the Sankirtan leader for the country, and then Priyananda Maharaj had some heart problems. So he said, he just called me in the room and said, okay, you just take over, I'm leaving. I said, when are you leaving? Who's going to train me? Well, I'm leaving in about 30 minutes. And I said, well, I don't even know what to do. And he said, well, just preach. And I said, well, yeah, but, you know, what about... And I said, well, Jagjivan will train you up, you know. So I went to Jagjivan as he was getting in his car. I said, yeah, I got to go, you know. So I... another type of pioneering was, you know, taking positions that, like Maharaj said, you know, and in those days, you usually had 3 or 4 positions. You know, one time I was a temple president, cook, treasurer, and everything else that had any level of responsibility. So, then I became regional secretary, and then after a series of very great, I mean, ISKCON, especially after the disappearance of Srila Prabhupada, faced many challenges. And I personally think that that part of ISKCON's history was, you know, of course there's always tests and there's trials, but there was that time from when Srila Prabhupada left till about 1986-87, so many challenges. And it seemed at some points in time that, you know, how are we going to go on? I remember at Srila Prabhupada's disappearance day, I was in Nicaragua doing Sankirtan, but I couldn't do Sankirtan. For some reason, nothing went right that day. And that night, well, that was, you know, the day after, because we're one day behind. So on the 15th, we got the news that Prabhupada had left. And I was thinking, how will I go on? How will the movement go on? How will anything go on? And, you know, all through those years, there were so many challenges like that. And it was the Srila Prabhupada's example, Srila Prabhupada's determination, at least in my experience, that brought us through. You know, I mean, you can imagine that the oldest devotees in the movement, when Srila Prabhupada left, were like, you know, in their mid-20s, late-20s, and early, like the oldest devotees were in their early-30s. And Prabhupada's turning over this worldwide movement with the most exalted transcendental philosophy to all these young people, who the oldest of which had been in the movement for, you know, 11 years and 10 years, and most of them 8 or 9 or 5 years. And I just remember that phase of this kind of history was very trying. And so I was just thinking, as Maharaj was speaking about different types of pioneering, that one type of pioneering or accepting risks is accepting the challenge that comes to us each day, which I very much experienced in those years, that, you know, one thing after another, and somehow or another we pulled through, and somehow or another we pulled through by the strength of Srila Prabhupada and those devotees who had, you know, been trained by Srila Prabhupada, their determination and their perseverance to fulfill Srila Prabhupada's desire in the face of so many challenges, that we all have our challenges. As Krishna says to Arjuna, Vishame samupasthitam, in this moment of crisis, why are you thinking like this, Arjuna? Kutustva kashmanam idam. Where is this impurity come upon me? And I was thinking how many times that I reflected on that particular verse during those times, and how each one of us, another type of pioneering is just to go through those challenges that Maya places before us on a daily basis, and to maintain our Krishna consciousness, taking the risk that, you know, I have these duties, I have these responsibilities, family, work, life, what I'm supposed to do in life, I'm studying, I'm working, I'm, you know, serving, and always putting, you know, accepting that challenge and putting Krishna consciousness in the forefront, putting Krishna consciousness, making Krishna consciousness our priority. And this is a type of pioneering that all of us are obliged to do. And then I just remember a real, of course I'm going quite a bit ahead of Maharaj because I came in later, so everything, my changes or my experiences in this kind of history were, you know, more in those years in the late 70s, early 80s. And, but I just remember in 1987, it seemed like the dark clouds of challenges just kind of started dissipating and clearing away. And ISKCON, you know, there was a real hope. And then there was, you know, there's been big challenges all through the years after that, one thing after another. And I always thought that every challenge that came to the movement historically, I won't go into the details of each one, but every one that came was an opportunity to experience the value of Krishna consciousness. How, you know, by facing these challenges and struggling through them, how we realize what a transcendental gem, what a transcendental value that Krishna consciousness has in our lives. And this is a type of pioneering, going ahead internally and becoming stronger in one's Krishna consciousness. We did that, some of those of us who had leadership positions, especially being a GBC. I've been a GBC now for, well, it'll be 30 years, 28 years, quite a stint. And, it's full of challenges, but those challenges throughout the years, and, there's still challenges every day, every year, in our Mayapur meetings. But I see that, in spite of all these challenges and difficulties that may appear here and there, I get my share of them, and we all do, that it strengthens one's Krishna consciousness so much to accept them as opportunities to go on and participate more and more and see this all as Krishna's mercy. Quite an interesting way how Krishna reciprocates. I was thinking of that when Maharaj was speaking about Lord Jagannath, how, sometimes we come before the deity and we're looking for a sign. What am I supposed to do? We speak to our devotees, we speak to our spiritual master, we speak to someone. It seems practically impossible to go on at times. So many challenges. But those challenges to me establish the worth. As Srila Prabhupada said, the matchless gift of Krishna consciousness. That we Krishna places these things before us, just as Arjuna had his challenge and Krishna instructed him. And we have these challenges, these moments of crisis. And reflecting back on the history of ISKCON and seeing how great devotees like His Holiness Giriraj Maharaj, all these years of pioneering in different phases, and that they become the beacons that give us the strength and the ability to go on and on in Krishna consciousness. So, thinking how every day, in one sense, is a milestone in the life of a devotee. The more we accept those, like Queen Kunti, she said, let me experience these difficulties again and again, because it makes me see the nature of this world and it brings me closer to your lotus feet. So, anyway, just some thoughts I had while Maharaj was speaking. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. To move along now with the program, we'll have, I guess, any questions or comments. But because of what Maharaj said, I do feel obliged to comment on one thing. He mentioned me. But I actually feel I'm, being carried along by my God brothers, maybe, and so many devotees, sincere devotees. And it reminded me of one exchange I had with His Holiness Niranjana Swami when he was staying with me in Santa Barbara once. And somehow we were talking about Srila Gaurgovinda Swami Maharaj. And I don't know why, but I asked His Holiness Niranjana Swami, do you pray to Srila Gaurgovinda Swami Maharaj? And he said, yes, I do. And I pray to you too. But I was on a different topic. I didn't really deal with that. I just didn't entertain it. And then the next morning, which is actually his last morning, he was going to be leaving, I said, you said that you pray to me too.
is that really true? He said, yeah, and you know, I think he listed a few God brothers that he prays for every morning. And I said, well, that's funny because I also pray to you. and he said, well, you know, I don't know how that works because I'm getting all my strength from all of you. So I think that this, in all these challenges, and of course we have the deities, we have the holy name, we have Srila Prabhupada, but we have each other. And really taking shelter of each other propels us and sustains us. And so we have to really appreciate and value every devotee who is part of this great mission. Hare Krishna. So, are there comments or questions? He was first.
Thank you. I have one question. Is there you were speaking about taking risks in pioneering, and I find that with risk, there's a fine line between a risk and a gamble. And sometimes when we're starting a project or we're doing some preaching, we have to make a decision on the spot, really. And so how can we gauge if it's a risk or a gamble when
Yeah, that's a good question. Well, there's a phrase, calculated risk. We shouldn't take reckless risks, but we can take calculated risks, in which we calculate the pros and cons, you know, what we could gain, what we could lose, what the chances are of success, or chances are of loss. And and then that's like prayerful surrender, you know. And sometimes, of course, this also has its risks. But sometimes you get an answer within your heart. You're on the spot. You need to make a decision. You just like throw up your hands and total surrender in prayer and. You know, please guide me, and you can get an answer that way.
But just what you said, I just remember out of the 26 qualities of a Vaishnava, the Swarup Lakshana, the essential quality is surrender. And in that surrender, that is the risk. You know, I'm just thinking how that. Otherwise, I'm going to depend on Krishna. And that's what surrender means. So when we talk about risk, we're really talking about surrendering. So it doesn't mean risk that you put Srila Prabhupada's assets into danger. Even Srila Prabhupada sometimes chastised devotees if they put their life into risk unnecessarily. One time, devotees in Pakistan, and he said, come back, don't take this risk. Don't put yourself into that much danger. But the real risk is sometimes an internal risk. Do I surrender more? Or do I, as Mara said, remain in the comfort zone? So this is an aspect of risk. Just thinking of Mara to speak.
Hare Krishna.
So Maharaj, in your experiences, you have so many challenges. So how often would you take those challenges to Srila Prabhupada?
That's the question. More from our own.
Well, we took our lead from Srila Prabhupada as far as how much we should bring to him. But we were very dependent on him in India. His attitude in America was more, you know, you're Americans, you're from here, and you know what to do here. But in India, we didn't know what to do. And so he, as Kamal Krishna Goswami often used to say when he was the GBC for India, I'm not the GBC for India. Prabhupada's the GBC for India. And Prabhupada was, we also didn't want to bother him unnecessarily. I just remember once he actually got very sort of upset because we were coming to him with so many questions. And he said, I'm not an answer-giving machine. And then he just said, da, 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 and he said, that's it. Now he just act according to that. So what Maharaj brought up about the challenge after Srila Prabhupada left was not having his immediate association to answer our questions. And many times he did ask him, even before he left, how will we do after you leave? And Satsrupa Maharaj asked, now you're here, and whenever we have questions, we can ask you. But what about when you're not here? How will we get our answers? And Srila Prabhupada said that the holy name of Krishna and Krishna himself are the same. Do you realize this fact? And I found many places where Srila Prabhupada has made this, the same point, that by a senseless chanting of the holy name, answers come. Once I asked a related question, that Srila Prabhupada, now you're with us, so everything is going well. But what if in the future, when you're not with us, ISKCON falls from the standard, what should I do? And he replied, as a fairly new devotee then, and he replied, you are also one of the important members, so you work for the correction, but don't leave. So I took that as a very significant personal instruction. I tend to think that it has general application, but I guess that would be an individual matter. But yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, devotee back here.
Celebrate the last 50 years of Srila Prabhupada starting ISKCON, and I was wondering how you feel the next 50 years are going to go, how we can see we've had you know, this is reputed as being the fastest growing religious movement ever. And I was wondering how the next 50 years are going, and also what each of us individually should be doing over the coming 50 years.
I don't anticipate being around for 50 years, but you know, maybe in another body. But if I reflect on 50 years from now, you know, 50 years ago, ISKCON had 10 people. Now it has millions. So, just by projecting that, I see that we should, you know, we should start making major conquests. Srila Prabhupada said about certain places like Mauritius and Fiji, you know, that these places can be the first Krishna consciousness. Of course, he said that about many places. Just like Srila Prabhupada said sometimes, one time he went to New Vrindavan, and he said, Radha Vrindavan Chandra are the most beautiful deities. And then he went to London, and he said, Radha Gokulananda are the most beautiful deities. But one devotee had been with him in New Vrindavan. Prabhupada said, I said, yes, Krishna is absolute everywhere. So, point is that, you know, how can, what can each one of us do? Do as much as we can, and a little more. That's what makes the movement grow. When we go, going back to Mara's example, going beyond the comfort zone. When you stay in the comfort zone, you don't grow, and that around you doesn't grow either. When we all go out of that comfort zone, in our chanting, in our service, in our spiritual life in general, then the movement expands and grows very wonderfully. So I would say that that's a very important factor. That we all, of course, you don't want to get too far out of the comfort zone. You might, you know, stumble. But always going a little bit beyond, always pushing ourselves a little more. That's what the Prabhupada, you know, Maharaj can attest to the fact that Prabhupada didn't just push a little bit. Prabhupada pushed every day and pushed a lot. So at least we should take upon ourselves to every day put, you know, a little bit more quality in my chanting, a little bit more quality in my service, try to do a little bit more, you know, for this movement. And that will make whatever's happened now, hopefully minus some of the major challenges that we went through. And I've seen over the past maybe 10 years that I've seen the challenges have become, certainly there are big challenges, but it seems like they're not quite as ominous as before, which I see as a good sign. On the other hand, Srila Prabhupada said, you know, if there's no challenge, it means we're not preaching. Otherwise, if there's no opposition, in a materialistic Kali Yuga society, if there's no opposition, then may indicate I'm not doing so much preaching. Prabhupada was happy to see some opposition from the, not from the devotees, you know, we don't want that kind of opposition, but opposition from the materialistic society. But we should be happy when we see a little opposition. I think that's my reflection on your question.
One very major event that is coming up soon will be the opening of the TOVP, Temple of Vedic Planetarium. And that will really push the movement forward tremendously. Many thoughtful devotees, even like friends from, who are Gaudiya Vaishnavas outside ISKCON, they're seeing that this is going to have a tremendous impact on the world. And they're suggesting that we really, you know, get our house in order to be able to receive all the people who are going to be coming. Like if you're having a program at your home and 50 people are coming, or even 20 people, you really want your house to be in order. But we're probably going to be having millions of people come. And having our house in order means, yes, I mean, physically it should be in order, but it means also philosophically, you know, to be really clear about things and, just as many of the contentious issues as possible, we should come to some resolution on those, you know, based on Sadhu Shastra and Guru. So, yeah, I think it's going to be huge, you know. It's already expanding very quickly in the way that it'll be huge. And for our success, you know, we have to cooperate. As many of you have probably heard, Tamal Krishna Goswami said to Srila Prabhupada towards the end that the devotees love you so much. And Srila Prabhupada said, your love for me will be shown by how you cooperate to keep this institution together. And that cooperation really means to be free from false ego. And that means to put Prabhupada and Krishna at the center. So that is a very important requirement. I mean, what Maharaj said is absolutely true. Individually, we have to constantly be purifying ourselves and dealing with the internal challenges and being pioneers and overcoming different challenges that we face individually. And then also to work cooperatively. But I would say, in a word, when one of our life members and supporters in Calcutta asked Srila Prabhupada the question, you know, what is the future of your movement? And Srila Prabhupada said, in a word, bright. But later, in this program at Bharati Vidya Bhavan, Srila Prabhupada, Mrs. Kanaila Munshi, she also asked Srila Prabhupada, what is the future of your movement? And he said the same thing, bright. But he added a qualification. Bright, as long as they follow my instructions. But it is bright. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.